I want to deal with one little simple word today. It's a two-letter word. You spell it B-Y. By. That's a very insignificant word, isn't it? Because we look at a word like that, because it is not demonstrative, because it is so easy to pronounce, everyone can see that little word and read that. But we find it to be a great feat when we look at things and words that have this tremendous demonstrative type of power or illumination to them, whereby you have to struggle to even pronounce it, and you're not even sure that you have pronounced it right. So I want to deal with that little prepositional phrase, that little preposition. Excuse me. I'm not as thorough in grammatics as the young ones, but I do understand placing and proper position of grammar, linguistics. I understand that to a certain degree. Not maybe as well as you, but I do understand that. And I do know that that little word, by, is a preposition. And usually a preposition is followed by a noun. I believe I'm correct in that regard. You all that in school, you probably can correct me in that aspect. I have no compunction with that at all. But I do know that that is a preposition. And I know what a preposition does. It actually strengthens or modifies or makes or gives soundness to the noun. Now, if I ask us, what does that word by mean? We will all come up with various definitions. It only means a simple meaning to it. It is simply conformity. You conform to that. I will show you an example. A mother, father says to the son, the daughter, I will tell you one thing. You will live by these rules. And what they meant, that you will conform your lifestyle, your habits, according to these rules. And they will say, you will live by these rules that I have established. And so that's what that word by, B-Y, a simple word. I know we read it in text, and we overlook things like that. I don't know, I bless Yahweh, because I don't overlook little things like that. Because I know that they're significant. And I believe he put them there that we may get thorough understanding of the context of the thing that he is actually trying to open up unto us. So we see a word like that, we read past it, because we think we know what it means, and we really don't know what it means. And that's the simple truth, saints. Now, I want to establish something. So I want to bring emphasis to that little one word, the word by. All right? But I must establish something before I do that. And I will tell you what to turn. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I'm not going to wait for you to turn to these scriptures. You can write them down for expedience. So you must trust me to read them accordingly as they are written in the text. And also it is stated in Luke 4 as well. What you do is read the whole chapter that you may get the context of what things were said. Now, I do understand what things were said. Now, this is a profound statement out of the mouth of Messiah. He was battling against a formidable foe. He was the prince of the power of darkness. He had been the chief cherubim of the covering of Yahweh's throne. And so as Messiah, as Moses, 40 days fasting, then this power of darkness came to try the integrity of truth that was sent forth by the Father. For the Word was with the Father in the beginning. It was not something that just happened in that day, but from the beginning, the Word was with the Father, for the Word was the Father, and it was with the Father, all right? So His Word of it, or His integrity, has always been established, not just in that time. This was a dimension that man had never seen. The Scripture says this, as Satan tried him, Matthew 4 and verse 4. He says this, he answered Satan, but he answered and said, it is written. And so that is simply, it is established, and nothing is going to change it at all. Once Yahweh writes it, nothing is going to change it. He said, it is written, man shall not live by now. That bread is a now, by bread alone. But he said, but by. The conformity there, but by. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. He has not spoken a word in the old or the new that has no relevance or power today. But there were things that were done, the sacrificial offerings of lambs and bullocks, all that was fulfilled in Messiah. All that was fulfilled in Him. All of that was fulfilled in Him. So there is no need of sacrifices of bullocks and asses anymore, because the price was paid in that sacrificial lamb. And so he said, every word that the Father has spoken, we should live by. We should conform or be conformed by that word. And the way we do that is by the renewing of our minds, that we may be transformed, first of all, with a renewed mind. Now that is what the Father wants. Yahshua said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth. He did not say my mouth, but out of the mouth of Yahweh, as he spoke unto Satan. Now in your text it may say, out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, is what he said. He did not say me, but every word, because every word comes from the Father. That was the Father in that body, and that was the word of truth in that body of Messiah. Now, I want to establish that, because we're going to deal with that little word, by. Out of Yahweh, the scripture tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Malachi 3 and verse 6. He says, for I am Yahweh, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, I never change you now. There's no changing in me at all. Not one bit at all is there any changing in me. And then in Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, I want to read that, because I want to read it in the text. I know what it says, but Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Malachi said, as you always spoke unto him, he says, I am Yahweh, for I am Yahweh, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 13, Hebrews 13, chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8, it says this. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, and have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follow, considering the end of their manner of life. Look at the way they live, what they say, and you consider what they say. That is your catalyst in judging them and making the assessment that is proper. He says, Yahshua the Messiah, that's what he said, the same yesterday and today and evermore. For he is in the Father, and the Father in him. And so the Father says, I never change. Yahshua Messiah never changed. He's same today, yesterday, and evermore. And James speaks, James chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness or any shadow of turning. There's nothing about him that has changed. There's no variableness, no change in Yahweh at all. And so there's a witness there. It has been established in the mouth of three witnesses. Malachi, Paul, and James. His word has been established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. So Malachi profoundly spoke that. And then here Paul writing unto the Jews, he speaks by the same spirit. And then James, out of the same profoundness that this Elohim we serve, he never changes. There's no variable, there's no changing in him at all. And that is what man wants to do today. They have changed him to be acceptable by the white folks, to be acceptable by the black folks, to be acceptable by the homo folks. What a sad commentary that in this gay minister. I was reading, he's not a minister, he's a minister of Satan. He is a minister. And yet there are 10 million people. There are 7 million of those Anglicans in America. And 70 million in Europe. 70! Which one, in the midst of that whoredom and cauldron of sin, truly know the Father? Very few. I want to say to you, my friends, you better get your heart right and pure. If Moses, as I spoke to the brothers yesterday, as he went on the mountain for 40 days to receive a profound truth from Yahweh, and within that 40 days, that whole congregation had gone apostate, had made a god, they were sinning. And this wicked mind of this generation tells you, I can do it. I'll be all right. You are a perverted thing. 40 days, the whole house was apostate. The whole house, even Aaron, they were apostate. They were vile. Going back to sin. They're going back to where the dogs. But Pastor Roberts, I don't think that will happen in this day. You don't believe that. You don't. You don't. Well, we're going to find out. It is one thing. I want to ask all of you all a question, because I'm dealing with the word bind it all. I'm just laying something here. If someone comes to your house for dinner, you're going to have to know who the person is. And they're going to know who that is that inviting them. Don't you think so? Now, I want to read something, because I want to stress this word by, that preposition, more than anything today. Now, look at what the scripture says in Exodus chapter 24. I want to read something to you. Exodus chapter 24, verse 1 through 3, and then I want to drop down to verse 9. Now, these chapters, if you read them in the entirety, you will get a tremendous picture of what was implied here. I will read the first three verses, and I will show you what Yahweh was imparting unto his house. Chapter 24 of Exodus, it says, "And he said unto Moses," someone was talking, and it was Yahweh talking unto Moses. Yahweh said unto Moses, "Come up unto Yahweh," or "come up unto me, thou and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." Now, he told them exactly what to do. He did not call the congregation. He called those three men and the 70 elders. Now, that same anointing and that spirit transpired in the New Testament. The scripture tells us when those that had a knowledge of Messiah, the scripture said he sent out 70 disciples with the 12 apostles. And he sent them out by two. Same anointing, no change at all. He sent out 70 70 disciples with the apostles. Messiah did. And so Yahweh called 70 elders, by who he called Moses and Nadab. And Moses alone came near, now Moses alone at that time came near Yahweh, but they shall not come nigh. He said, "I don't want the rest to come nigh. I simply want you, Moses. I want you to come close." And we all can draw nigh. You understand this? We can draw nigh unto him with a pure heart. Now that's the only way you're going to get close unto the Father. Your mind and your desire must be sincere. It may be done in ignorance, but it must be sincere. He said, "Neither shall the people go up with him." And Moses came and told the people all the words of, not some now, he told them all the words of Yahweh. And all the judgments, not only what he said, but the consequences of not doing what he said. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has said will we do. Not some of them. He said everything that has spoken unto us, we will do. That ought to be the will of the saints today. Whatever you say, Father, my will is to do it. They did not say some of the words, but they said all of the words. And immediately they began to fall backwards and apostatize. Fell into sin and the corruption, the wicked ways, because they will not adhere to all of the words. When a man will not adhere to all of the words, he is missing some part of the whole. And you must have the whole of the whole to do all that he commands and will for you to do. Ask yourself the question, did Joshua do all that he had for him to do? He did everything because he concluded that it is all finished. It is all done. I'm pleased, the Father. I'm finished with this chore, this calling that you have established your name in. And now I go down into the earth to show your excellent power, your excellency of power. You're going to quicken me after 3 days. And after three, no, Yahweh quickened Messiah. And after 3 days he got up. And he showed himself openly unto all of them. And even the apostles, he breathed on them. And they received the anointing, the Holy Ghost. Breathe on them. He breathed on them to give them that capacity, as Evangelist Hall would say, and the strength to go on into Jerusalem and to tarry there in the upper room. Now you need to get into that upper place with him. And the only way you're going to do it, you're going to have the true anointing. Not traditional anointing, not flesh anointing, not black anointing, not white anointing, not Jew anointing, but you must have his anointing. And the only way you're going to have that, you're going to have to know him. If a man pardon you from your sins, if one, that is a convict, and the governor give him a pardon, he's going to be very grateful unto the governor. Sure he is. I believe he will write the governor a letter and say, Mr. Sanford, I'm very thankful and pleased that you have pardoned me of my conviction. As guilty as I was, I'm very grateful and thankful unto you. Now that is one that is truly thankful and one that is truly sincere. He understands the very power and the importance of being pardoned or cleansed from all of your sins and your iniquity. He understands that. And understanding that, it causes the man's heart to rejoice even the greater and the more. That's why the hearts don't rejoice as much today. So he said, you bring those up. You come first of all. You bring them. And then you let them stay there. You come on because I need to talk to you. All right? And then he says down in the ninth verse of the same chapter, that's what he says. Ninth verse of chapter 24 of Exodus. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. 70. Joshua sent out 70 of them to go witness of this profound truth. The pattern is always established in the old. It has never changed at all. Not one bit change. It says, and they now, it did not say just Moses. It says, and they. It says, and they in verse 10. And they. It did not say Moses alone. And they. That is what it says, isn't it? Does it say they in that one? It says they in this one. It says who? And they saw who? Say it the way it is in that text you read. They saw who? They saw God. And they. Now Moses could not be a they. It would be a him. But the scripture says, and they saw Elohim of Israel, and there were under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone. What was that like? I sat yesterday as I talked to Deacon Betty and Brother Allen concerning it. I tried to imagine that, but there's nothing in my comprehension or my ability to imagine that. Just like the 70 went out to be a witness unto Messiah, he brought 70 from the house. Before the 70 went out to witness of this profound truth of Messiah, Yahweh established the foundations of that. All right? So they saw him. That is what the scripture says. You can't read around it. You can't read through it. It's simply there. You don't explain that. It's just there. And they saw Elohim of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stones, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. The body? Do you understand that the expanse of the heavens in its clearness? That's what they saw. This glorious power of this great, mighty one. None like him. Pure, no other spirit like him. And so he showed forth his beauty and his clearness. He said, there's no doubt I am the one. So that's where was the clearness there. Sure, saints. That's why he showed himself with all clearness, that there will be no doubt at all. He made himself known unto this house in a profound way. And they saw the beauty of this excellent king. My, what a glorious event that was. There's one that is coming even gloriouser than that. For we shall behold him. We shall behold him. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. Hallelujah. As the scripture said, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Those that were the high and mighty, the very esteemed. The scripture said he laid not his hands. Also they saw Elohim. Now this is the part here that, if that doesn't cross your mind. And they saw Elohim and they did eat and drink. And so when a man sits down to eat and drink with you, you must know who the man is, first of all. If someone invites you to sit down in their house, in their presence, you want to know who that one is. And the scripture said they did eat and they did drink. Now I'm establishing that little word by. I will show you and make it clearer to you. But I will establish who he is. And the one that established everything by his words. I want to show you who he is. Have you seen him in that glory? I haven't. Have you seen him in that magnitude or that power? I've never seen him like that. Have you seen him in the glory of that expression? I've never seen him that way. Never at all. And what we see of one another is a very express image of Yahweh in Messiah. Because he said, I will pray to the Father. I will. That's what Yahshua said. He said, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to pray to the Father. And he's going to send you another comforter. He said, I know I'm comforting you now, but you need someone that will abide in you and go with you everywhere you are. He said, I'll pray. No, he didn't say, I'm going to. He said, I'll pray to the Father, and he'll send you the comforter. You see, folks, they want to relegate Yahweh to some obscure thing, but it's not going to work that way. His house is going to know him. What he did right there is to establish his name by these 70 elders, Moses, Dad, Aaron, that they may know that there is none other like him. There's no other Elohim like him. He is the only and true one. And he said, I want you to know me by my name now. You know these by tradition, but you're going to know me by name. They didn't know Baal by name. They knew Baal by tradition. They know Tophat by tradition. Folks that are Baptist know Baptist by tradition. Folks that are Seventh-day Adventist know Seventh-day Adventist by tradition. Those that are Episcopalians know Episcopalians by tradition. That's how it's done. And it never brings forth this excellent and the beauty of the presence of Yahweh in the midst of him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. And that's what he was showing them here, Sage. That he had saved them out of a house, a bondage. He is the one that saved, saints. He said, you're sure to save this wicked, unholy, vile earth. And he wants to be identified and be acknowledged in that as well. You cannot acknowledge Messiah and know the fullness of him and deny the Father. It's no way. It's no way. Your doctrine is twisted. It is wrong. Now look down in verse, hallelujah, in verse 12. He said, and Yahweh said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and law and commandment, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Now, he wrote those tables, or he wrote that law, that man may know it. And now he has written that law in our hearts that we may live by every word. That's why Messiah said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. Now, I want to show you something that Yahshua knew who he came by and know what his purpose was for and knew who was in control of all things. Now, I want to turn to the New Testament. The scripture says in John chapter 10, verse 27, that this is Yahshua Messiah speaking. John 10, 27, it says this. Yahshua said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Well, what is a shepherd? A shepherd is one that watches over the sheep. And you must understand, even in the Middle East today, that people will allow, there's one shepherd to hundreds of sheep, and they all know them. And that one shepherd would take them to the righteous, or to the right grazing grounds where they can eat. And when they would bring them back at night, that little sheep will go back into its fold. The other sheep doesn't go to a strange man's fold, but every sheep go back into the right fold that they belong. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And this is what he says, and I know them. What a statement. He said, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Look at what he says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, they can't pluck them out of my hand. Why? Why would Yahshua say that? He said, for my father, which gave them me. They were given unto him by the Father. And because he knew the Father did that, he wanted to make known the glory of the Father. No, they were not secured by him. He said, my Father, from the foundations of the earth, he predestinated and ordained those to be called sons of Yahweh. He said, for my Father gave them me. It's greater than all. And no man, look at this now, he says here that no man shall be able to pluck them out of his hands. But then he says here, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Because if they're in his hand, then they are in the Father's hand. He never denies the Father. He never discounts the Father. He brings recognition to the Father, to Yahweh, because he desires that pure worship. When I come before his presence, he come at the same time with the anointing of Messiah. It's not robbery for us to be equal with Yahshua. He came in flesh. We're sons. We are the first begotten of the resurrection. So we have been begotten of the Father. We are the begotten of the resurrection of Messiah. Well, who caused the resurrection? Well, the Father did. He quickened him by his Spirit. He put the breath back in the body. Only Yahweh can do that. Only Yahweh can put the breath in a man's body. Yahweh put the breath in Messiah's body, and he got up out of the grave. That is what he did. He said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. Then how do you deny the Father? What is his Father's name if he has a Father? You can't deny that. Our traditions have taught us that we've given really no recognition unto the Father. And the whole emphasis on the Father. As you always spoke to my heart this morning by Scripture. When I get back from Pastor Graham's, I'm gonna do a series on that, the glory of the Father. But we need to understand that there's a glory of the Father, an honor of the Father, and an honor of the Son. And there's a glory to the Father, and there's a glory to the Son. The Scripture talks about the Spirit of Yahshua, and it talks about the Spirit of Yahweh. He had a spirit just like you had the spirit of a man. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his own spirit. He had a spirit. When you die, you give up your spirit. You give up your life. That doesn't mean the anointing of Yahweh's breath dies. It never dies. He gave up his spirit. He gave up his ghost. He said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And then in verse 31, look what it says. Then the Jews took up stones against him to stone him. He declared that Yahweh was his Father. And they took up stones to kill him. They took up stones. Now, Yahweh said to Moses, now you bring these elders here because there's something I want to convey to you. And you go back and you teach them these laws and you give them this instruction. These were faithful men that he brought before him. And those things were committed into the heart, into the safekeeping of faithful men. So has Yahweh always done that. He has always, with Adam and Eve, he spoke the words unto them. How did Noah understand what he was doing? Tell me how! He spoke to Noah. He spoke to him. And we become just and upright in the midst of this wicked and perverted generation. He will speak to us as well. Your lies and your natural mind and your carnal mind will not speak to you, but that will be a pure law from Yahweh that will speak unto you. And you will have no need of no mind to teach you. For you will have the anointing. And Yahweh is a spirit. He is. I can imagine those elders that day, that profound unction there. What did they do? You see that glory. What would you do? They fall down before him as a dead man. And yet they ate their head. My, he invited them. Are we not going to the marriage supper? He brought them there to eat with him. And as we say, he walked with them and he talked with them. And he told them, you're mine. I've chosen you. By my name, I've called you out of that place. And that's what it was all about. He did it by his name. He wanted his name to be established in the earth. That's why he did it. That's why he continued to harden the heart of Pharaoh. Do you know how they went out of that place? The scriptures say, and Pharaoh drove them out of his land. That's what scripture says. It says, and Pharaoh, he drove them out. He said, you got to get it. He drove them out. When you drive something, that's urgency there, isn't it? It's a haste there, isn't it? Oh, I believe that. One more thing. John chapter 17. Glory. John 17 verse 11. The word of faith. Yahshua said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Who is he talking to? He said, but these are in the world. Then he said, and I come to thee. He said, I come to thee, Holy Father. It's how he addressed the Father. He says, keep, look at what he said now. He said, keep through thy own. Do you understand what the word O-W-N means? It is one's possession. It is a possession. That's what it is. It is a verb. It's your possessionship. What a profound statement he makes here. He said, I come to thee now. He said, keep through thine. He is talking to someone. He is not praying to himself. You could say he was a ventriloquist. You are a fool. That's what some of the apostolics say. They enter in their approach. Scripture will reveal scripture. But if I get the truth, gets the truth in his heart, then that truth will reveal the truth. And it takes them on and on into the heights of this great knowledge and understanding of Messiah. We must truly understand whom he was and is. I don't think we really truly do that. We truly know. Because we've known him by our tradition. Well, I love the loud. I love the loud. I don't even know what love is. That is the truth. I went down to this little church here on the corner here on Sunday. I gave them some watermelons. I plan to go visit the people one Sunday. I really do. And I met this sister pastor there. I asked him, I said, you want some watermelons? He said, how much are they? Very kind man. His name is Pastor McKinney. He said, I said, no, sir. I want to give you some for your members, the folks that come. Just want to give them. He said, well, you're welcome to come. He said, make no difference what you got on. Just come on in the house. I said, well, I can't wear no fancy outfit like that you got on. He said, oh, that don't make any difference. I dress just like you. Just come on in the house. Well, the man said that, and you could just sense the sincerity in the man's heart. You know it was real? I did. And it was sincere. He said, you're welcome to come just anytime. Makes no difference who you are. Just come on. So one day I'm going to pay them a visit. I really am. He said, Holy Father, keep now. That word keep, I'm not an intelligent man, but I believe it means preserve. To hold on to maintain. He said, keep through now. Through the understanding. the knowledge and the power of thine own name, whose thou hast given me. Whose own name thou hast given me? How do we reject that? How do we reject that, saints? That's what it says. You can say what you want to. He said, Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me. Those that you have given me, keep through. Not that I secure. Not, it was not that I said, I'm choosing this one. They were given unto him by the Father. He said, keep through thy own name those that you have given me. Why? Because in that then you will know that you sure came from the Father. He came forth from the Father. And his witness is true. He did not come forth of himself, but he came forth of the Father. And that is what he wanted to establish. That's why the Jews picked up stones to stone him and to kill him. Because he began to pronounce that name Yahweh. They call upon the Heavenly Father. There were thousands of temples and churches and whole houses back then. That every kind of temple, temples of Baal, Tophah, Moloch, Molcom, they had them everywhere you look. For they had mistaken the name of Yahweh and replaced it with Baal, Lord. And that's what men love today. They don't want to call it by name. He said, those that you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, he said, I kept them what? You don't have to read it. That's all right. He said, I kept them where? In thy name. He said, while they were in the world with me, while the apostles were with me, while they walked with me, while these disciples, I kept them in thy name. Tell me the Father's name then. Is it Lord God? No, sir, no, ma'am. He has a name. And I don't care how much research you do, and I've done research, 99.9% of the theologians and Jewish scholars would tell you that tetragrammaton is simply, to their best understanding, is Yahweh. That's how it's pronounced. How do you know if you hate it? He said, I have kept them in thy name. But what does it say in thy name? Thy is possession. By is possession. It is conformity. He said, I've kept them in thy Father. Why? Because he walked in the Father's name. He did not have a name that was separate from the Father. He and the Father, their names were one. He said, as we are one, don't you understand we're going to be preserved in his name? By his name, and no other way. And Satan has robbed us of this intimacy. My, that'll be a sad shame as little Abner back there never know his father by name. If he simply know him as Papa. It'll be a sad thing. We shout a little dolphin when he comes up. He never knows his father by name. He simply knows him, Dad. Papa. Well, what is your dad's name? Dad. Well, what is your father's name? Father. It's so absurd. And because we haven't truly searched the scriptures, now what a man truly studied, there's an awakening in a man's soul. You can actually read and get some sense of studying out of that. But to me, that's not study. Now, that's my definition, all right? What a man truly studied, he pours out of himself. There's a labor there. He labors to study. When a man studies his craft or his art, he become a brick mason. He just doesn't become a brick mason because he reads a book. A woman doesn't become a dietitian because she reads a book. She has to labor, she works, she cooks, she makes mistakes until she understands the proper protocol of becoming a dietitian. So is a man with a brick mason. It looks so easy to put that stuff on there. It is easy. But that's not the gist of it. I never forgot when I went to that class, a man said, preacher, I've been doing this for 25 years, and every day I learn something new. He said, you would think that I've seen everything there is to know about land bricks. He said, that man had taught that for 25 years and worked in that field. He said, every day is something new. He said, I learn things all the time, even in this field, even in this. That's why the power of what we call this whorehouse, I see it like that. It is stagnant. You can say what you want to. There's no power. You are a pervert and a liar. You say it is. There's no power. There's no anointing. There's no oneness as the Father. He were one. Say what you will. You can justify your own corruption and make yourself feel good, but it ain't the truth. It is just not the truth. So what is the Father doing? Well, he's going to have to purge and cleanse and purge out. Cut off every branch that is not bearing for fruit. Oh, it is the Father. He's going to cut off every branch that's not bearing for fruit. He's going to cut them off and cast them into the lake of hell. Every branch that bear not fruit, the Father, the husbandman, he purges. And he cast them into the furnace of hell, into fire. Say what you will. Say what you may. Perceive it any way you want to. But that's scripture. And so we don't want to live by the law of the scripture. We want to live by our own laws, by our traditions, our feelings. They're going to take you to hell. And this is the preacher that will tell you that. He said that they may be one. John 17:11. Verse 12 he says, look at this. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept. And none of them I lost, but the son of perdition, the one of darkness and of hell. The Father has lost nothing and no one, but those that are perdition. He said that the scripture might be fulfilled, that the word, every word must be fulfilled. And if the word is not fulfilled, then the scripture is a lie. And the word must be fulfilled. He said, and now I come to thee. And these things I spake in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. That what? That they truly know the Father. Man had been separated from the Father. You figure between Malachi and John the Baptist, it was a span of 400 years. And this epistle of John was written some 70 to 75 years after Messiah had died. The span of 400 years, no light, no power of the truth. So men began to walk in every kind of apostasy, every kind of sin there was. Isn't it the same today? Sure is. They're walking in tradition and flesh. They're only going to be still saved. I don't care what you say. I believe that more and more each day as I study the scriptures. As I see the habit of my Father and see what he has done. I see it so clear. It's becoming clearer and clearer each day. He says in verse 14. He says, I have given them thy word. That's what he said. I've given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then he says to the Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Don't take them out. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That who should keep them? He said, Father, keep them. He said, I don't pray you take them out of the world. He said, but that thou shouldest. Why? Because his job was finished. He knew that once he finished on Calvary, he said, it is, that's what he said. He said, it is finished. He is just a propitiation, the price that was paid in full, the mediator between us and the Father, that the Father looked at that testimony. Does he say anything? I don't know. I know we have preached that, we have shared that. I believe that the Father sees that testimony, and the price of that testimony, he sees the nail-scarred hands, and the Father makes judgment according to that testimony. I believe that's the way he does it. As far as him say, oh, forgive David, Father. Forgive them. No, he told me how to get forgiveness of my sins and my transgressions. He said, I've finished what you've given me to do. There's nothing left for him to do. It's done by faith that in the power of that body, we can come boldly before the throne of Almighty Yahweh and cry to our Father. And so that's what Messiah did. He came to open the eyes and to bring a clearness to who the Father was. And the Father had to bring those 70 and Moses to bring a clearness to whom he was. And when they saw that glory, they said, that's not him. Baal is not him. Tophet is not him. The one of Hinnon is not him. That's what they said. Why? Because he made a clearness. He made a distinction between him and the other gods. He did change. And so Messiah came to open up this profound knowledge. And this truth that had been hidden from men for so long. Why? Because of their sins and their transgressions and their ignorance and their unfruitful ways. That's why when he began to speak to those Jews, they couldn't handle that. And that's why we that are Jews, when we began to hear his name, we can't handle it because you're Jews. You're Jews. You can't handle that. It's one thing when Paul began to preach to those old Gentiles. They were outside of the camp. They say, I can understand that. You must understand a Gentile realized that he was filthy. He realized he was not a part of that tribal little thing. He realized he's filthy. That's what he does. The Jew didn't see it that way. He had his plastery. You got your love box on your arm, your self-righteous box on this arm. The Jews wore their plasteries. The Pharisees, they wore their plasteries. They fasted. But those Gentiles would look at them and say, man, boy, who? Ain't much to me. And yet when they heard that profound truth, they could receive it. It was only when those Judaizers would go in, even if you read the book of Galatians, you will see what really transpired there. Only when those Judaizers began to go in and say, well, you can't do that. You need to do this to be saved. You need to do that. You need to begin to keep the law this way. You got to make a sacrifice here. You got to do that. And Paul said, you began in the spirit. Now you're going to perfect this thing by the flesh. He said, who has bewitched you? He knew who it was. Paul was not an ignorant man. He had discerned that in the spirit. Yahweh had revealed that unto him. Who had bewitched us? Tell me. Well, you've been bewitched, Pastor. Sure have. I've been deceived. Let me tell you something. Yahweh spoke to Moses and told him, just say, speak to the rock. Did he speak to it? 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 He smote it twice. In the presence of this great mighty one. And he still smote it twice. Tell me your sins. Tell me what you've done. More than once. More than twice. That'll settle that then. I bless him for his sufficient grace. And grace is not a new thing. It's always been there. For he said he is Yahweh and he changes not. So grace has been there from the beginning. Grace is not a new thing. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Then he tells them in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's talking to the Father. He said, thy word is truth. And I am the power, I am the beauty, and the glory of that truth in this flesh. He said, now you sanctify them. Was not Messiah sanctified? He was clean and holy. There were no sin, no guile found in him. No perverted thing, no vile thing. Nothing that separated him from the Father. I believe in that experience in Gethsemane was to show us in our Gethsemane we would have to pray that we know the Father. He knew he had a will to do and a purpose, and it was not his will. Tell me, we do our will, don't we? We do everything we think is our hearts that we're willing to do. Whether it's hate a brother, whether it's hate a sister, whether it's lash out at one, whether it's do your thing, whether the judge wants differently than you judge yourself. We do our own will, but that was not the will of the Father. That's not the will of the Father. Yahshua knew he had meat to eat, and it would keep him. And that meat was to do the will of the Father, not only to do it, not only to do the will of the Father. Not only do it, but to finish it. And we got to finish what he has started in us. There's a work that he has started in us. Yes, there's a work. When you start building a building, it doesn't look pretty around there. There's some buildings that take them years to build. There's some buildings before they get the footing and the foundation. It takes months and years to get all that done. And you don't see the splendor of that thing in one day. You don't see the splendor in 2 or 3 days. It takes years for some buildings. 4, 5, 6 years to build one building. And all of a sudden you began to see the splendor. And you began to be erected. You began to see the splendor and understand what detail and what work has gone into building that house. And that's what Yahweh is doing, is building him a spiritual house. He must lay the footing, for we have laid on this foundation every kind of foul thing there is. There's no such thing as an Anglican church. There's only one body. A white man's church, a lot from hell. No more than the black bishop down there in Louisiana petting white folks to come to service. What a fool. I say it that way. No more than there's an Anglican, Anglo-Saxon. No more than there's an African church. There's only one assembly. And that's Yahweh's tabernacle. It's named by his name. It's named by his name. That's why these whores have put these whore titles on his house, and it's named by his name. It was established in the beginning that his assembly would have his name. How do you get a white man's church or an Anglican church where faggots is all right, but they ain't a faggot, or black Episcopal Methodist church? The name of Yahweh is not even in there, and that's a lie from hell. Yeah, they serve their gods, the black ones, the white gods. No, he has a house that is called by his name. It ain't called no crazy white man's church. It ain't called no stupid black man's church. Shall not from hell the Anglican, the American, Episcopal, Black Methodist, the sin from hell that I'm going to do. I don't care who you are. This truth is truth. It transcends your tribal attachment. White man and black man. It transcends that. There's nothing in the presence of your way. All flesh is as grass. It stinks. It's filth. It's vile. It's corrupt. That's what it is. Has no value at all. The only value is the life that he has put in it. Has no other value. Now it stinks. It goes back to the earth. Putrefied what it is. How can that be? And so when you get a black man's church, you get all that trash in it. You get a white man's place, you get all this trash. It is not Yahweh. Now I would establish by that, all right? Oh, I'm still working by, okay? Because you're going to go by his laws. He said, you're going to go by my rules. And any one of you all that have raised children, you say, no, not what you say. This is what you're going to go by. I say, you must be in the house by 10 o'clock. I say, you must be in the house by 9. Now, what many have to buy? And so you got there a quarter till to make sure. And only in your rebellion as you stretch it out to a quarter past, half past, 45 past until an hour. For 2 hours. You understand? Seeing that rebellionist was a spirit of witchcraft and sin. But when daddy said, you're going to go by my laws. He said, you're going to go by my laws. If you do this here in this house again, you will get out. These are my laws. And you're going to go by. You're going to conform to this. And Yahweh said, you're going to conform to his word. You're not going to conform to a black man's word. You're not going to conform to a white man's word. You're not going to conform to a Jewish word. You're going to conform to Yahweh's word. You're not going to conform to white man's traditions. You're not going to conform to black man's traditions. You're not going to conform to Jewish traditions. You're going to conform to his way. Everywhere of a man is pure in his own sight, but Yahweh, he pondereth, he weigheth the spirit, he weigheth the spirit. And so that's why you've got segregation. And divide, why? Because they're preaching a white doctrine, they're preaching a black doctrine, they're preaching a Jewish doctrine, and there's only one truth. That Yahshua Messiah came in the power and in the name of Yahweh the Father. And in that name is salvation granted unto man. As Pastor Graham said, I believe that. I understand what those that preach in the name of Yahweh, what they've done, that still doesn't do away with his name. No more than baptism in water do away with his name. With the Baptist baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. No more than the Methodist sprinkling water on that doesn't do away with baptism. No more sanctification, that doctrine of sanctification, it's not done away with. No more is the apostles' doctrines, when they spoke in tongues, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not done away with. I don't care what man says. Even though they do things in error, tell me how many things you've done in error. Tell me how many things you've done in sin. All right, even under the name of Jesus Christ, tell me how many things you've done under that name. All right then. Hallelujah. The house of Israel saw a great thing and they still went and apostatized. They still went and sinned. He will manifest in the midst. They knew his name without any doubt at all. And he's not what you to call me by my name. And if you think by the name doesn't mean something, you're a fool. Let me establish this. The scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. And I want to drop down to verse 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is what the scripture says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh, thy Elohim, he said, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that Yahweh, thy Elohim, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, thy Elohim. Now, that's no different in the New Testament. It is the same teaching. He said, what you do is obey the Father. Everything he tells you to do, as Moses spoke, he said, you adhere to those things and do them. He said, if you do this, then he told me he was going to bless your cattle, he's going to bless your land, he's going to give you a land of fullness, he was going to bless them. He says in verse 9 and verse 10, he said, Yahweh shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, and he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh thy Elohim, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by. Just like Joshua was called by his father's name. He said, they shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now, I know what it said. They will see that you're called by the name of God. What it says in that text, by the name of God or Lord? By the name of Lord. Now, what Lord? Tell me! He said, they all shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now, if they're just going to call them by the name of Lord, which Lord? Which one are they going to be afraid of? Was it Lord Baal? Was it Lord Milcom, Molech, Tophat? Which one? He said, you're going to be called by my name. And they're going to know you. Why? Because the Son came in the Father's name. He came in the same power of the Father's name. And that's why they're afraid of him, because he called on that name. He knew the Father, and he came in that name. He said, you're going to be called by my name. You're going to be called the house of Yahweh. They're going to know you're my children. Who's are those Yahweh people? They're the people of Yahweh. He said, they're going to know, and they're going to be afraid of you. He said, they're going to be afraid of you. Why? Because of me and what things I've done and my mighty power that I've shown in the earth. And they're going to be afraid of you. And they're going to tremble because they're going to know that it is me. It is. You're going to be called by the name of God. What God? What name? What name of what God are you going to be called by? Is this the same one that brought Moses into his presence with the 70 elders and fed them? Is this the same one? He had a name then. And he has one at that time as well when Moses spoke. You can try to erase it out in your minds and your spirit, but it's still the same. You can erase it. That's what he meant. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called. When someone is called by something, that's what they're called by. Oh, a name doesn't mean anything. That doesn't. You believe that. And you hold that. I want to read this. You believe that. You truly believe that, huh?